Anger is an emotion which God has given us. In fact, God has given us all of our emotions. And he has given them to us for our good. He has given us our emotions because just think how boring life would be if we didn't have emotions. We would never experience happiness. We would never experience joy. We wouldn't experience grief. All these things are emotions, and God gave them to us so that we would be able to interact in our world. In our world, we could experience the world around us with all these different emotions. And that would include this emotion called anger. So a simple definition of anger is a strong feeling of displeasure. Everybody experiences anger. Even if you just look at, I have a grandson, he's not even 2 yet. But when he's trying to attempt something and he begins to get frustrated because it's not working, you can see the anger beginning to show up on his little face. And so everybody experiences this emotion called anger because it is a natural human emotion. Doesn't matter what race you are, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter where you live. Anger, along with all our other emotions, are universal. Everybody in Asia, in Africa, in Russia, everybody has the same emotions. So as I was studying this, I came across this sentence, and it says, anger is one letter short of danger. And I thought about that, and I said, wow, we need to learn how to get control. Because if we just cross off that D from the word danger, the ending of that is anger. And we know that anger that is out of control can indeed, and often does, lead to danger. But what I want you to know is that anger itself is not a sin. God gave us this emotion called anger. Anger could do a lot of things. Anger could alert you to the fact that something is wrong. There's something going on. There's something not right. And that's a good thing. When we look at Ephesians 4:26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. That first part of that verse tells us anger is by itself, it's not a sin. It says, in your anger, acknowledging the fact that you will become angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So thank God for Ephesians 4:26. We don't have to feel guilty for when we get angry. Anger is a natural emotion. Everybody is going to feel it. However, when we don't keep it under control, it does become a sin. And for that, we should feel guilty, and we should ask God to forgive us for allowing our anger to get out of control. Both Jesus and God the Father got angry. If we look at Exodus 4:14, it says, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? So in this passage, God was trying to get Moses to get to the point to accept his call to lead the people out of Egypt. Moses didn't want to do it, and so he was trying to negotiate with God to find somebody else. And the scripture says, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. What does that mean? That means Moses angered the Lord. The Lord got frustrated with Moses because he was trying to get Moses on assignment, and Moses was trying to find the quickest way out. And so that irritated God, that angered him. He said his anger burned against Moses, simply meaning that he became frustrated with Moses. And in that frustration, he became angry with Moses. But we know that God did not sin. He did not punish Moses. He continued to, in fact, he did what Moses asked him to do, and he grabbed his brother Aaron and allowed Aaron to do the speaking for Moses, which is what Moses was requesting that made God angry. And so God was able to look past his anger. He was able to look past his irritation and to still continue on with calling Moses and getting that task done. Then in Mark 3 and 5, Jesus also showed this emotion called anger. It says, he looked around at them in anger. He's looking at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And so when Jesus saw how stubborn the Pharisees and Sadducees were and how critical they were of his healing on the Sabbath, he said he looked at them in anger. And so that emotion even, arose up in Jesus. And so if God can experience this emotion called anger, and Jesus can experience this emotion called anger, we too will also experience that emotion called anger. But once again, keep in mind, neither Jesus nor the Father sinned when they experienced that emotion. So now let's take a look at the root causes of our anger and what we can do about them. So the first one that we're going to look at is just hurt and offenses. We get angry, or we can get angry. Maybe we don't always, but we can become angry when somebody hurts us with their words or with their deeds, or somebody offends us by what they say or what they do. When people offend us and when people hurt us by the things that they say and they do, most people have a reaction of this emotion called anger. And what we often do is we use that anger to get back at that other person. We use that anger in that moment in time as our protection. We use it as a way to protect ourselves from feeling the hurt and the pain of that offense. And so anger rises up at that moment in time. So what can we do about it? I think we've all had that experience where somebody has said something and we snap back. Because we didn't like what we said, what they said was hurtful, what they said was mean, what they said was degrading, and we snapped back in anger. Well, if we look at Proverbs 19:11, it says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Now, let me just state ahead of time that none of these scriptures are easy. It is not easy living out the word of God. In fact, we talked about when I did the Ten Commandments that we're going to fall short. These are things that the Bible is teaching us, that this is the character we are supposed to have. This is the response we're supposed to have. But most of the time, it is easier said than done. But if we look at why God is trying to lead us to these type of responses, then maybe that'll help us to try to get control over our anger. So when Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience, it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. What that scripture says to me is that it takes wisdom and patience to have somebody say something offensive to you, to have somebody to say something hurtful to you, and for you not to respond in an angry fashion demonstrates the fact that you have wisdom. And not only do you have wisdom, but you have patience. You recognize that this person needs to grow. You recognize that this person is not in a mature state. And you're able to overlook that. And in overlooking that, that brings glory to you. As a child of God, you are able to glorify God in that moment because you chose patience and you chose wisdom over anger. Ecclesiastes 7 and 9 says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit. That's hard, at least for me. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit. That means don't let people's words eat at you. Don't let what people say get to you. Don't let someone's response to your request or response to your conversation, Do not allow their response or their words to eat at you. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit. So another version of Ecclesiastes 7 and 9 says, don't be quick-tempered. That is being a fool. It also says, don't become angry quickly, because getting angry is foolish. And so if I put both of those scriptures together, the message I'm getting from the Lord is that it takes some wisdom to be able to control this emotion called anger. If you are easily provoked, you are acting or going to behave foolishly. And God does not want us to be foolish. He wants us to be wise. And Proverbs is the main book that talks about foolishness and the main book that talks about wisdom. James 1 and 19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But that's not normally what we do. We are quick to speak, slow to listen, and quick to become angry. But James is instructing us to be quick to listen, because sometimes if we listen to people, what they say will not hit us in the same way that we do when we're just quick to get angry. So if somebody is saying something to me and I'm in a mode where I am truly listening to them, then I might not hear the negative that I would if I really wasn't listening. And I might really hear what they're trying to say. Sometimes people just don't use the right words. I don't know about you, but I've talked to people before, and I'll get mad at something that they have said. But when it comes down to it, I have really misunderstood what they were trying to say. I have misunderstood the words they were using. They weren't using words that I would use. They're using their own language, and their own language is offensive to me. And I'm taking it out of context because I'm only listening to the words and I'm not really trying to hear what they're trying to say. And so James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And usually when we're in a confrontation, especially when we are debating something or we are disagreeing with someone, we are very quick to speak because we want our voice to be heard. We don't really care what the other person is trying to say. We just want our voice to be heard. And before you know it, the whole thing blows up and you're in the middle of an argument because you were not slow to speak, you were not quick to listen, and you were not slow to get angry. And so we have to be very, very, when we're in those type of situations where whatever the topic is controversial, whatever the topic is, has potential to blow up, then we have to really put this scripture into practice. If we can, it's a good memory scripture, just to try to remember to listen. Because if you listen and you're slow to open up your mouth and say something, even if you get angry, the words might not come out. Even if you get angry, perhaps you can take it to God in prayer as opposed to offending that person in the same manner in which they're offending you. But a lot of times we do tit for tat, and we know the Bible tells us not to do that. And so in Matthew 18:21, it says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? So when somebody hurts us with their words or deeds, or they offend us, they have sinned against us. And he says, up to seven times. And Jesus answers and says, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And so we're all familiar with the scripture. And so that tells me that there's a part of this, if we are to respond properly, to instead of getting angry, we have to be quick and we have to be willing to forgive people. And that's not always easy. And it might not happen automatically. Usually it doesn't. But we at least have to have our heart in such a way that we can work through it and get to the point where we're willing to forgive our brother and our sister. Yes, they might say the same thing. They might do the same thing over and over and over again. But the expectation that Jesus has is that we will forgive them and that we will continue to forgive them. Why? Because that's what he does with us. He forgives us. I know each and every one of us can testify. I know I can, that there are things that I do repeatedly over and over and over again that I have to keep asking God to forgive me. And he does. And so when people hurt us, when people offend us, we always have to have that forgiveness in our hearts, that forgiveness in our spirits. And the more that we are able to listen to people instead of responding to what they're saying to us, but really try to listen, not only to what they're saying, but also listen to the Holy Spirit in those times. The Holy Spirit is also trying to speak. He might have a word for you to give to them. But if you're so hung up on what they're saying to you, and if you're so offended by what they're saying to you, you might not hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to have you communicate to them. And so we have to be slow to listen, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, and willing to forgive. Another root cause of our anger is injustice. Now, we know that just a couple of weeks ago, our country was in turmoil over injustice of black men being shot by the police, injustice over people who really didn't care that other people were being shot. And when injustice arises, it could be social injustice or it could be personal injustice. And injustice is just that concept of things being right, things being fair. You know, one of my children, as they were growing up, would always say, "That isn't fair." That was their slogan. "It isn't fair. It isn't fair." Well, the fact of the matter is, life isn't fair. And even though life isn't fair, we can't walk around angry all the time because life isn't fair. If we do choose to walk around angry, we can build up a root of bitterness. And the Bible talks about this in Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. It says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." And so when it says no one falls short of the grace of God, God is expecting us to always show compassion. So when there's injustice in the world, that should make us angry. But it's how we're going to deal with that injustice is what God is looking about. Once again, I told you he gave us that emotion called anger. And that's so that we could see there's something wrong. So when we see people being mistreated or if we see people mistreating us, that should cause us to feel angry. But we can't let that anger take root in our heart. We have to go to God to get the grace. And when he gives us grace, we'll be able to deal with that in a way that he would have us to deal with it. Romans 12, 21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And that was, I always think of the marches, the civil rights marches in the 1960s. There was a lot of evil going on, still going on. But they chose to follow the way of God. They chose to follow that way of righteousness. They did not overcome evil with evil. They overcame evil with good. Some people did not like that method because they thought that we should fight back. But just think about it. They won. They were calm. They were peaceful. They stood their ground. They didn't back down, but they did not do the same thing to other people that people were doing to them. And in the end, they won. And when I say they won, we do have rights now that we didn't have then. We are able to do some things now that we weren't able to do then. Is everything perfect? No, everything is not perfect. But what they were fighting for worked. You're voting. You have jobs that you couldn't have. You have educations that you couldn't get. And so their peaceful protest worked. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Isaiah 59, 5 and 7. And I really like this because what do we do when we see injustice? What do we do? The next scriptures are going to show us what we can do. It says, "Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people," and this is God speaking, "only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is this what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them and to turn away from your own flesh and blood? What is God saying? Well, the people were fasting. They're doing these little religious fasts, but they're just doing it outwardly. They weren't eating anything. They were walking around letting people know that they were on a fast, but they weren't taking care of business. It does not pay to go on a fast if you're not going to do the actions that are going to accompany it. This is what God is saying. Yes, you need to fast, but when you fast, it should have a purpose to it. You should be breaking some yokes here. You should be feeding the hungry. You should be doing the work of the Lord. That drawing close to God in that fast is so that God can use you to take care of some of these injustices in the world. And I do believe, it's my personal belief, that we cannot depend on our government to help people who are in need. It is the responsibility of the church as well to help the poor, to help the needy. We cannot depend on the government to make a law that's going to help people. We can help people right where we are. God has said so. That's what he just was telling the Israelites. You all can do this. Stop fasting, just going to church, fasting, have your little ceremonies. Get out there and do the work. Fast and do the work. Fast and get out there. Fast and feed the hungry. Fast and clothe the people. Fast and get close to me so I can show you where you can take care of some of these injustices. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. Matthew 9:35 says, when he saw the crowds, this is Jesus, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So what does all this mean? When we see injustice or if people are doing us wrong, our job is not to do tit for tat and do wrong for wrong. Our job is to seek the Lord on how he wants us to be his hands, how he wants us to be his feet, how he wants us to be his heart, to show that compassion, to show that love. And so when we talk about being angry, that righteous anger that comes from seeing people untreated or mistreated, then God's expectation is for the Christian, for the believer, to take action and to do something. Another root cause of our anger is fear. That's what we saw on January 6th. People were afraid that the country was going to be taken away or something. I don't know exactly what, but they were afraid. And in their fear, they became angry. And in that anger, there was a riot. That's what happened when you allow fear to take over. When fear takes over, it can easily turn into anger. Have you ever wondered why somebody got so mad with you? Could it be because they were really afraid? You thought it was all about you. But what if it had nothing to do with you at all? What if the reason they got so angry and they walked out and slammed the door behind them was not because of what you said, but they thought something personal, their safety, their security, whatever it may be, their future was on the line. And they got afraid. And in that moment, fear turned to anger. And all they did was just blow up. It was because they were afraid. And you're wondering, what are they so mad about? When we fear our security is being threatened, when we feel that our safety is being threatened, we become afraid inside, but outwardly, we become angry. And so, what does the Bible, what do we do? 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Well, the first thing we have to recognize, in any moment where we are feeling threatened, that we feel like our safety is being threatened, when we feel like our security is being threatened, when we feel like our lives are being threatened, we don't get angry. We need to turn to the other direction and remember that God loves us. That even if somebody takes away our what we feel is our security, even if they take away what we feel is our safety net, we are still okay. Why? Because God loves us. And because God loves us, there is no need to fear. We don't have to have angry fear because somebody is threatening to take something away from us. Know that God loves us, and in his love, he will provide. He is our provider. He is our protector. There's nothing the world can do to us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. They can try to take away everything from us, but we do not have to get that fearful anger because God loves us, and he has promised in his word to take care of us. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Don't get angry. God is with us. Do not allow your fears to make you mad at people, mad at institutions, mad at government, mad at policies. Don't let your fear cause you to become angry. God is on your side. The last one is frustration. This is another root cause of fear, or of anger, is frustration. And this is the one that gets me most of the time. When I get frustrated, I get angry. I don't care what it is. Yesterday, I was trying to put on a little bracelet, and it had a claps on it, and I couldn't get the claps to connect to the chain. And I really got frustrated. And I got angry at the bracelet because it wasn't doing what I needed it to do. Then I got angry at my husband because he had left, and so he couldn't help me put it on. And it was just a silly little thing, but yet there I was. And I wasn't angry, like mad, like blown up mad, but I was irritated and I was a little angry. And so we can allow our frustration, our efforts that are unsuccessful, people are not responding as you would like or you think they should. We can allow those frustrations over unmet expectations to turn into anger. Children do this all the time. When a child is trying to learn something and they cannot get it, they become frustrated and they become angry. And we do the same thing. When we're trying to achieve something and it's not happening, we become frustrated. And then we become angry. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Philippians 4, 19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4, 13 says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." So what's the point? The point is this. When we are unsuccessful, when our needs are not being met, instead of getting angry, this is our time to really cast all our cares upon God. This is our time to go and talk to God about it. This is our time to have that conversation. "Lord, I'm frustrated. They're not listening to me. Lord, I'm frustrated. They're not helping me. Lord, I'm frustrated." Whatever the case may be, instead of getting angry with a person, instead of taking your frustrations out on people, go to the Lord in prayer. He is able to help you. He is able to deliver you. You don't have to spend all that energy and angry. You don't have to get into a combative a verbal fight. All you have to do is have a little talk with Jesus. And tell him all about your trouble. He'll hear your faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Lastly, I'm going to close with this, Colossians 3, 12, and 14. And I ask you to think of the last time you got angry. What you got angry about and who you got angry at. In Colossians 3, 12 and 14, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And the exercise I want you to do, and you don't have to do it now, but I do want you to do it. I want you to go back to the scripture. And where it says, bear with each other, I want you to drop the name of the person that you were angry with. And forgive one another. I want you to drop that person's name in there. If any of you have a grievance against someone, put that someone's name into the scripture. And then I want you to read it out loud. Because when you do this exercise and you personalize it by putting in the name and then reading it out loud, the Lord will take you to a different place in your heart and in your mind as it relates to that person, that incident, those emotions of anger that you're feeling. If you would just drop their name in there, bear with each other, someone's name, and forgive one another, someone's name. If any of you has a grievance against someone, someone's name, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And if you would read that out loud and do that exercise and let me know if that did not help you move past some of that anger that you may have been feeling with that person. And that's going to conclude our Bible study for tonight.